This is the Nightly News Show. Join Jay the Man and the man, the myth, the legend, the one and only Ranks on the Disclosure Media Network.
Well, hello and good evening to those of you listening on our live streams from YouTube, TuneIn, and Ustream. And, of course, all of you that download our podcast on iTunes. Again, don't forget to subscribe to our YouTube channel by going to youtube.disclosuremedia.net. Today, it's Tuesday, July 7th, 2015. Rags is still on vacation. He'll be back soon. We have Rex Bear co-hosting tonight's program. You can find out more about Rex Bear at his website at leakproject.com. Tonight, we welcome a wonderful guest, Tom Paladino. Tom Paladino is a scalar energy researcher and has 25 plus years experience helping people with pathogenic infection. For more information, please visit his website at www.selfhealgo.com. That's selfhealgo.com. Tom, welcome to the program. Thanks for sharing your time with us this evening. How you doing?
I'm very well. It's great to be here. Thanks, Jason.
It's great to have you on the program. Before we went on air, I told you I'm a noob with all this information, so I'm excited to find out about scalar energy. So, Tom, where does scalar energy originate, and describe its nature?
Sure. It's all very simple. Scalar energy originates from the stars, the sun of the universe. And its nature in composition, it really forms a double helix. It looks like a vortex, or it looks like the same model of a DNA molecule. So scalar energy is all around us. Terms that are synonymous with scalar energy would be chi, prana, zero point energy. Some people call it life force energy. Frankly, everybody is an expert in scalar energy, whether you realize that or not. And I say that because scalar energy is really the life force of the universe. Scalar energy is responsible for all movements in the universe, including, say, thinking, or including any type of emotion. Anytime we think, we're broadcasting scalar energy. And emotion is a broadcast of scalar energy. Our bodies, our molecular structure is held together by scalar energy. So although the term might be new to people, nonetheless, the concept is not. Everybody's quite familiar with scalar energy. We experience it, obviously, every moment of our lives.
Yeah, you know, I didn't have thought about that. We also, folks, we've got Rex Bear with us from theleakproject.com. You can find out more about Rex at his YouTube channel at youtube.com/clandestinetimelord. Rex, what's your take on scalar energy? I know we had talked a little bit before we went on air. What's your take on this, and what questions do you have for Tom?
Well, hey, Jason, and hey, Tom. It's great to be on the show. I've been doing research for about 7 years now, and I find it quite fascinating. The one thing that I haven't found, though, is really solid data pointing to the assembly and disassembly with this technology. And I know that, Tom, you're going to get into that with us here later, but you've made some pretty serious, powerful claims on your website about how it is able to cure many of these ailments and pathogens and viruses. And yes, I was hoping that you could kind of get into some of that with us and show us maybe some data or white papers or evidence so that people can really look into this if they have those problems.
Sure, by all means. And I am results driven, and I'm glad you're asking that poignant question. So let me cut to the chase. I do have scalar energy instruments, and with those instruments, I have found that I can control molecular state. In other words, I can either assemble a molecule or disassemble a molecule. Well, in specific, I've tailored my instruments. I've customized my scalar energy instruments so that I can break apart the molecular structure of pathogens. As such, I can break down the molecular structure of viruses, bacteria, fungi, protozoan, even prions. Now, with that statement, my contention is scalar energy is opening the door so that we can cure all pathogenic infection. Now, why do I say that? Well, if you can eradicate, if you can break down the molecular structure of a germ, a pathogen, and to the point that that molecular structure no longer exists, that is, a germ, a pathogen, has been reduced into elements or proteins, well, you've removed, you have eradicated the causative agent of disease. And as we well realize, any pathogen, any parasite is a foreign infectious agent. It doesn't belong in the body. So I have customized my scalar energy instruments so that I can indeed bring to a state of chaos their molecular structure, their molecular state. Well, with that said, I am able to cure viral, bacterial, and fungal disease. Why? I'm able to break down viruses, bacteria, and fungi. In so doing, if I can remove the causative agent of disease, then yes, that proves to be the cure. Now, for pathogenic disease, not for other diseases, but the cure for pathogenic disease.
Now, do you have some people that have gone to the doctor and, you know, the doctor said, look, this is your situation here. You've got this element or this pathogen. Yes. And then they've gone through therapy with you. They went back to the doctor and the doctor said, oh, my goodness, it's gone.
Yes. And that's happening more and more. Yes. To answer your question, that is happening now. And it's almost routine, frankly. Many of the people that I've treated have been diagnosed, per se. Let's use the example of the herpes virus. Some people have had herpes infection for 10, 15, 20 years, and that has been diagnosed, not only in a clinical setting, but diagnosed by way of lab tests. And after my scalar energy treatments, people have had a viral load test, a polymerase chain reaction test, and the test comes back invariably non-detectable, no detectable viral load whatsoever. This has happened 50 times, perhaps close to 100 times now. What am I saying? I have PCR tests. I have polymerase chain reaction tests that are showing that people no longer have any viral load of the herpes virus, of the hepatitis virus, of the Epstein-Barr virus, of the HIV virus. And my contention is this, that my scalar energy instruments are indeed working to the point that we can, again, deconstruct viruses. We can break them down. If I can break down, shatter a virus, it no longer exists. If the causative agent of disease no longer exists, you have cured now that pathogenic infection.
Now, you said 50 to 100 people. What would the percentage be if you were to look at all the people you've treated with this that have had those elements, 50 to 100 people, what would that be in percentage?
Okay, it would be 100%. And the reason I say that is my energy instrument does what I tell it to do. If I'm working with a computer by way of analogy and I hit a keyboard and say perhaps I hit the letter L on my keyboard, that's indeed what will come up on my screen. So I have control over a computer. I have control over a car. If I hit the gas or hit the brakes on a car, the car responds accordingly. Well, likewise, with my scalar energy instrument, I am able to scan the proper germ through my instrument, and in so doing, I'm able to broadcast that energy of that germ into the person. My contention is, with my scalar energy instrument, it is a light operation. There is no human ingenuity involved in its operation. Hence, the operation is not subject to my human opinion, to human error, if you will. So it is entirely a light process. And with that, I am instructing my instrument to what? To broadcast the specific harmonic into a person in order to break apart a germ. So my contention is this. When I tell my instrument to break apart the herpes virus, it will do that 100% of the time. It is to the point where I have perfected this instrument that it is fail-safe, so to speak. If I tell my instrument to break apart the HIV virus, it will do that, and it will do that without fail. And I say that without reservation on account of the fact that, once again, I'm working with light energy. And light energy is fundamental. It is not subject to human whims. So with that statement, I contend that scalar energy will indeed prove to be essentially the cure for all pathogenic infection. Once we really delve into this and understand its nature, I will say it's almost routine now for me to break apart a germ, a pathogen. So to answer your question, I have 100% success rate. Now, I mentioned to you that I have at least 50, perhaps 100 diagnostic tests to back up, to substantiate my claims, and I do. Just 2 days ago, a gentleman offered me a PCR test, a polymerase chain reaction test for the herpes virus. And after being infected for years with the herpes virus, he went and had a subsequent test, and this viral load test came back undetectable. There was no detectable viral load. Well, most importantly, this individual no longer has any symptoms of herpes. Frankly, that's another cure of herpes that I can speak about. It has become routine. My process is now so perfected. It is to the point that I've honed this instrument to the point that, yes, it is a matter of fact that I can cure pathogenic disease.
If I could jump in here, Rex, I just wanted to get a question in here. What is the difference, Tom, between scalar energy and electromagnetic energy?
That's a wonderful question. All energy in the universe originates from our stars, from the sun, the stars of the universe. And when that energy originates, it takes the shape of a double helix. And that is the true configuration. It's a phi spiral. Scalar energy is a double helix, a vortex, if you will. Well, scalar energy can convert into electricity. And when that happens, this phi spiral, this double helix, will uncouple or unbind. And in so doing, scalar energy will convert into electromagnetic energy. So essentially what I'm saying is scalar energy is the perfect energy of the universe, whereas the electromagnetic spectrum is really a subset, if you will, of scalar energy and the imperfect converted form of scalar energy.
Interesting. So how does scalar energy disassemble pathogens?
Great question. That's one of the laws of nature that scalar energy observes. Scalar energy is really responsible for the geometry of the universe. All atomic, all molecular forms are held together by way of scalar energy. So with that statement, I would say that all covalent bonds, hydrogen bonds, ionic bonds, etc., are essentially subsets of scalar energy. That is, scalar energy is responsible for binding all matter. Now, with that statement, an in-phase relationship of scalar energy, an in-phase harmonic would serve to assemble matter. An out-of-phase harmonic would serve to disassemble matter. It's very simple. So we could look at scalar energy as having the ability to assemble and maintain matter, or scalar energy in a reverse phase capacity would disassemble matter, would bring matter to a state of chaos. Well, it's my contention that without scalar energy, we would not have a universe. Everything would fall apart. So in synopsis, scalar energy as a fundament of nature is responsible for assembling all matter in the universe. If we were to relax scalar energy, if scalar energy would suddenly disappear from the universe would frankly fall apart. Wow. It is light, it is energy that gives expression to physical form. That is, energy is the first principle, light is the first principle, it is the instructions for matter. Without light, without scalar energy, you will not have matter. So with that ideation in consideration, light energy forms all matter. Well, I take germs and in reverse now, by way of the reverse phase angle, I instruct scalar energy to unbind, to break apart the molecular bonds of viruses or bacteria or protozoan or fungi. So you see, what I've developed is a fundamental control over pathogens. And I do that by way of this primal force in nature, scalar energy. I have the ability to either form matter or to break apart, to bring matter to a state of chaos.
Tom.
So essentially what I'm saying, scalar energy is going to open the door for us to control the physical universe.
Have you looked at into dark matter or dark light to see if there's any connection with that scalar energy?
First of all, can you define that term? What would dark matter be?
Well, dark matter, I guess, is, you know, where they say it's just everywhere in space, but we just really can't see it.
Oh, okay. Let's term that ether. How about if we do that?
Okay.
Yes, there is ether. It is the medium of the universe. And quite frankly, ether is nothing more but the fundamental particle of the universe. It's essentially a tetrahedron. It's an equilateral tetrahedron. That is the fundamental particle of the universe. Well, when scalar energy works through the ether, then scalar energy can form molecules, atoms, even electrons, protons, and neutrons from the ether. So in summation, there really are only two considerations that we have to consider in the physical universe to start. That is, you have energy. Scalar energy is the first and foremost energy of the universe. As I said, it will degrade into electricity and magnetism. Nonetheless, scalar energy works through the medium of the universe, the ether. The ether is an equilateral tetrahedron made out of crystal quartz. And that ether is the fundamental particle of the universe. It's indivisible. So in synopsis, all you really need is scalar energy working through the ether, forming matter. Ether is the building block of all physical forms. And it is scalar energy that gives expression, that gives instructions to the ether. So you're correct in that assumption. Yes, there. Some people call it dark matter. Some people call it ether, the medium of the universe, etc. Tesla referred to that quite frequently. Obviously, you need a medium for light to propagate through. So in order to have scalar energy, you need this highway, so to speak. You need the medium of the universe, which is the ether.
Great, great. Rex?
Yeah, and also I wanted to bring up that there's a lot of scientists and physicists out there that they're still looking for a finite point, some form of matter. You know, when you look down in the quantum levels, you break matter down, there is no finite point. It's all basically hollow. They're still yet to find it. It's a frequency-based. Everything has some type of frequency. So you bring up this certain scalar technologies. And it sounds to me what you're speaking of is a combination of maybe light and energy combined with the radionics type stuff that I've done some research on. Now, when you bring up this machine that you've put together that's controlled and designed to facilitate certain energies at certain points of the body to get rid of certain elements and diseases, could you describe this machine in detail for us? And then you also talk about how you tell it what to do. You tell it to get rid of herpes or hepatitis, and it does so. Could you explain how that's done?
Sure. If I were to place my scalar energy instrument on a Rourke table, it would measure approximately 8 feet in length. And there's really three components to it. It's the main unit, the power unit. Involves a capacitor and involves a filament tube in which I'm able to take scalar energy and finally collect that scalar energy and then run that scalar energy into Tesla coils. And by the time that energy is entering into the Tesla coils and broadcasting out, it is indeed a true scalar wave, a standing scalar wave. And then the third component is a receptacle in which I place photographs of germs, and I'll get to that later. So what I've described in a nutshell, in many ways, as far as I'm concerned, is the modern day equivalent of the Ark of the Covenant. If you will, you can look at this as a biblical reference. The Ark of the Covenant was the first example of a scalar energy instrument. Now, other researchers and developers such as Tesla and Moray had scalar energy instruments, but I don't believe many people have developed true scalar energy instruments. I believe most people today are still working within the electromagnetic spectrum. And I say that because if you're working in a scalar energy environment, it's quite unique. It's different. It's not the electromagnetic spectrum. And the results, what you can achieve in a scalar energy environment, a scalar energy force field, you cannot achieve in an electromagnetic force field. Now, moving on. In order for me to, say, break apart, to disassemble the herpes virus, I actually take a photograph of the herpes virus and I place it into my scalar energy instrument. Now, everything I do, once again, is devoid of human interpretation. Let me jump in here real quick.
How do you put it in the machine? I mean, do you have like an MP3 file? Is it a photograph that goes into a box that then uploads it into a computer?
Sure, by all means. It's an actual photograph. It's an actual photograph on a piece of paper. I cannot use a substitute. I cannot have this placed on an MP3. It's an actual photograph of the herpes virus on a piece of paper. And I actually place that photograph inside my scalar energy instrument. Now, much like a Xerox machine, a Minolta can scan or copy a document. Well, in similar fashion, I take a photograph of a germ and my scalar energy instrument will scan the energy, the harmonic, the signature on the herpes virus in this case. And in so doing, my instrument then will be able to decode, will be able to interpret the essence or the harmonic of the herpes virus. Thereafter, my instrument, I'll instruct it to broadcast that very energy, that harmonic, if you will, into the human body. And when these two identical harmonics meet, they annihilate one another. If I can broadcast the reverse phase angle of the herpes virus into a person, once the herpes virus energy finds the actual virus in the human body, it will instruct that virus to break apart, much like somebody who can sing and shatter glass with their voice. Some people are a trained vocalist, can actually sing and shatter a wine glass if they hold it up to their lips. Well, in similar fashion, my scalar energy instrument will indeed break apart, will shatter a germ, just like an opera singer can shatter glass with her voice.
And the machine that you use, once you've downloaded or put this picture into it where it can upload and then transfer that into the infected or the disease per se. So how does it do that? Is it just doing it with light and it's broadcasting it into the body?
Correct. Just by light. Everything I do is by way of light. There's no physical connection between my instrument and the person. So maybe I could use the analogy, my scalar energy instrument works like a satellite. If a satellite, a low Earth orbiting satellite, can send out a signal to a cell phone tower or to radios, then my scalar energy instrument works like a satellite, and I can broadcast energy to people or to animals. Well, in so doing, that broadcast of energy serves to break apart the pathogens in their body.
Now, we're getting ready to take a break here, I think, right, Jason? We got about 30 seconds, but when we get back, I'd like to jump into some of the scalar energy pathogenic cleanses that you offer and also this nutrient therapy, and I want to get into the way that this actually assimilates things and puts certain nutrients together in the body. I find that fascinating.
Sure.
We're speaking with Tom Palladino from selfhealgo.com. We're going to take a break here and do our news, and we'll be back, folks, in 5 minutes. So stand by, and we'll be right back.
We'll be right back with the Nightly News Podcast with Jason and Rags.
Welcome back to the program, folks. We are speaking with Tom Palladino. We also have Rex. You can find out more about Tom Palladino at his website, selfhealgo.com. Also, you can find out more about Rex Bear at leakproject.com and also on his YouTube channel at youtube.com/clandestinetimelord. Tom, I wanted to get your take and see where Nikola Tesla and scalar energy come together and how those two are connected.
Sure. I think a watershed moment in Nikola Tesla's life is when he moved to Colorado Springs in 1899 and he conducted extensive scalar energy experiments. And from that point forward, I'm convinced that scalar energy was probably first and foremost on Tesla's mind. If you look at the career of Nikola Tesla, it's really it's really divided into two chapters. The first chapter is that of electromagnetic energy. He is indeed the father of AC electricity. But the latter part of his life, he devoted almost extensively to scalar energy. I'm convinced of that. And most of Tesla's inventions and his theories later in his life really reflected upon the scalar energy dimension. I will add, that's why so many people today do not understand Tesla. The early part of his life, he was working with electricity. The latter part of his life, he was working with scalar energy. And that's why today many of his inventions in his last days, if you will, are still not understood. They're poorly understood. Why? Because he was working with scalar energy. He was not working with electricity.
Interesting. Rex, did you have anything to add there?
No. Actually, I was just thinking when you brought up Nikola Tesla, I was out in that neck of the woods a couple years ago, and I went past his old house, and I had an opportunity to speak with the guy that lives on the house that was built over his old house. And it was pretty interesting. It's a neat area out there, and he sure was a fascinating character. You know, some of his inventions and the stuff he put together was just absolutely light years ahead of his time. The scalar energy technology that you've been working on, I know that one thing you really talk a lot about on your website and also on your YouTube channel, Tom, is the scalar energy pathogenic cleanse. I was wondering if you could tell the people that are listening to this broadcast and those that will be listening to it in the future how that actually works.
Sure. In synopsis, when I'm working with a pathogenic cleansing, in order to eradicate a germ, I broadcast the reverse phase angle, which serves to break apart to deconstruct the molecular structure. Now, in reverse, when I want to assemble something that's beneficial to the body, such as a vitamin or a mineral or an antioxidant, then I administer the in-phase wave, the in-phase wave, if you will, the in-phase harmonic of scalar energy. And in so doing, I can assemble inside the human body vitamins, minerals, antioxidants, amino acids. It's very simple, but yet profound, quite profound.
Right. And also, you know, so with the pathogenic cleanses that you've done, have you ever been able to get some maybe photographs at the quantum level or with an electron microscope showing that these frequencies are actually breaking down these viruses?
You know, I did that years ago, and it if you will, satisfied my curiosity. Now, I have a scientist that wants to conduct that experiment at a distance. In other words, I live in Florida, and this scientist wants to conduct an experiment whereby he can view perhaps a bacterium under a microscope out of state, not in the state of Florida. And if this scientist will submit to me a photograph of that germ, I'll be able to break apart that germ and video record it. And I'm doing that now, obviously, at a distance. I'm working with this scientist out of state. And we will indeed achieve that, and we will prove that. And once we video record that, we'll release that obviously on YouTube video, and in so doing, that will serve to prove that yes, scalar energy can work at a distance, it is non-local, that scalar energy can indeed break apart a germ, and we can indeed show that, we can demonstrate that by way of video recording under a microscope. Sure.
So Tom, if I could go back to Tesla, what ways was he using scalar energy?
Tesla was so ingenious. It is said that Tesla could easily, almost casually, create lightning bolts in Colorado Springs when he was demonstrating scalar energy, which calls to mind that scalar energy would be essentially an infinite source of power, of energy. All lightning bolts originate as scalar energy, and then they degrade into electricity and magnetism. Nonetheless, Tesla was able to take his scalar energy tower in Colorado Springs and to broadcast these powerful lightning bolt strikes. My point is this. Scalar energy is everywhere. And what Tesla had achieved was simply extracting that energy and being able to control it, to harness it, to the point of creating lightning bolts. So with that statement, scalar energy serves as an infinite supply of energy. It's clean energy. You don't have to mine it or extract it. It's certainly not nuclear. There's no radioactivity. And the fact that it's relatively inexpensive to harness and to control, well, that in and of itself will serve to put an end to the energy crisis. Tesla, I understand, at one time retrofitted a Pierce Arrow automobile with a scalar energy engine. The engine had no combustion. That's the nature of scalar energy. There is no explosion. There is no combustion. And with this retrofitted Pierce Arrow car, Tesla was able to work on scalar energy. And the car, I understand, achieved a top speed of 90 miles an hour, all by way of scalar energy, no gas, no petrol whatsoever. Wow. What does that mean to mankind? Well, that means cars, transportation by way of scalar energy. Again, clean energy, infinite in supply, and relatively inexpensive once you harness it and apply it to certain functions.
So what is the future of scalar energy, and how will its acceptance serve to change the world for the better?
Scalar energy, in my estimation, will have a far more profound impact upon mankind than that of electricity. If you could imagine our world without electricity and how electricity, the harnessing of electricity, has advanced mankind, my contention is that scalar energy will have a more profound effect upon mankind than that of electricity. I believe scalar energy could essentially replace any electrical device. Scalar energy could indeed replace our modern-day means of power generation: coal, nuclear, hydrothermal, electrical. Scalar energy is going to liberate mankind, and it will indeed serve to not only make our lives easier, it will ultimately serve to automate the world. I can clearly envision a world where we will no longer work 40 hours a week. Scalar energy will be our servant. As such, I don't think it will be necessary to work more than 15, 20 hours a week.
Wow. And do you think that's the main reason why Tesla was taken out, basically? I mean,
Yes. As the story goes, J.P. Morgan was indeed financing him for some time. That has been established. And ultimately, J.P. Morgan pulled his financing. And I think once J.P. Morgan and his bosses, his superiors, the Rothschilds, realized that Nikola Tesla was about to introduce a free energy to mankind, which would be relatively inexpensive to harness and to control, that scalar energy served to undo all of the Rothschild-Morgan monopolies. And that's why, in my estimation, that Morgan and, again, his bosses, the Rothschilds, no longer financially supported the work, the inventions of Nikola Tesla. And to the contrary, they worked against him from that point forward. They were intimidated by him.
Wow. Folks, if you're just joining us, we're speaking to Tom Palladino. He is a scalar energy researcher, and he's got 25 plus years experience in helping people with pathogenic infection. We also have got Rex Baer on the line with us. He's from theleakproject.com. He's also a former host with Disclosure Media. He's also got a YouTube channel. You can find him at youtube.com/clandestinetimelord. Rex, do you got some questions out there for the guest?
Yes, absolutely. You know, if we could jump into some of these opportunities that this scalar energy is able to produce for people, it sounds like not only can it be used to harness vehicles and machines and power homes, but also destroy ailments and diseases. If you look at the theory that everything is a frequency-based system, then certainly this can help. But I want to jump into a lot of the problems that some people face today with certain ailments that they have that didn't exist, 40, 50 years ago, nearly as much. You know, a lot of kids now have some type of autism or on the autism spectrum. Mm-hmm. People have autoimmune disorders, and in my opinion, these things are maybe related to the diet and the things that are put in the vaccines today. But, you know, that's a whole other story. So have you been able to help people with different autoimmune disorders and maybe, you know, digestive problems with these type of therapies that you produce?
I have. And I would say not in the grand sense. I have to perfect my scalar energy instrument. So to answer your question, people with autoimmune diseases, intestinal problems, even autism, in some way I'm able to mildly correct those situations. Now, as I increase the power of my scalar energy instrument, it's my contention that I will be able to reboot the body. In specific, I believe we have seven chakras. A chakra is nothing less than a scalar energy point of light. So we have those seven chakras aligned in our body, which are what? Seven meridians, seven chakras of scalar energy concentrated. A scalar energy instrument can, if you will, align, harmonize those seven chakras. It's almost as if you would have a dead car battery and you would jumpstart it with cables. Well, how do you jumpstart the human body? You jumpstart the human body with scalar energy. Now, I've known of one researcher who worked with scalar energy, and in particular, what comes to mind is the Hieronymus family. They're no longer with us. Nonetheless, Galen Hieronymus was working with scalar energy, and in some ways, he was able to either bring people out of comas, or in many ways, he was able to reverse depression and anxiety with his instruments. Well, in some way, I'm following in the footsteps of Galen Hieronymus. I am able sometimes to reverse depression. And I do that by way of my high-powered scalar energy instrument will correct these chakras, will indeed have a profound effect upon the mood, upon the psyche of a person. So not only is scalar energy a wonderful tool for our physical ailments, but also it has broad application for our psyche, for our psychological disorders as well.
You know, also, Dr. Royal Rife created what some people call a Rife machine or a radionics box, which some people say it has a lot of woo-woo factor to it. There's not a lot of verifiable data to it. But what you're talking about, especially when you brought up this machine that you create and you'll put a photograph into it and it will then take that photograph and send a light image of it into the diseased or the ailment area. So did you take something from Dr. Royal Rife and some of that technology and incorporate it into your own?
I didn't. By accident, I would say I copied Rife. That was never my intention. I never really studied Rife. I studied as a youngster Tesla and another scientist by the name of Hieronymus. And at that time, I met the widow of Galen Hieronymus, a woman by the name of Sarah Hieronymus. And she mentioned to me that her late husband had great success using photographs or actual samples of physical objects. So I had it in my mind never to work with the scalar energy instruments with dials or trying to interpret the harmonic of something. To the contrary, I always had in my mind to use a photograph, an actual photographic representation of an object, which is indeed what I would call the real McCoy or the true essence. So, and with that in mind, what Rife was doing, I understand Rife was using more or less frequencies, and he was trying to gauge, if you will, what particular frequency would serve to break apart a germ or would at least arrest a condition, etc. Okay, that's fine. What makes my instrument so favorable to breaking apart a germ, I actually introduce into that instrument, into the scalar energy instrument, the germ itself. So there's no human interpretation. There's no dials. There's no human input. And again, my instrument will scan a photograph of a germ, just like a Xerox machine will scan a document. That's why I'm so emboldened by this process. There's no human ingenuity. There's no room for human error. I've eliminated the human equation, if you will. Everything is a light interpretation, and for that reason, it's fail-proof.
Interesting. You know, also, I'm curious as to the stuff you put into this machine when you'll put in some type of photograph or something like that. Have you been able to enhance people's abilities with it as well? I mean, have you ever tried to, let's say, gain a certain edge with something that might have something to do with the molecular level? Have you ever been able to put some type of photograph or image into your machine, work it sure. on yourself to obtain some type of power or extra strength?
Sure. I'll start with this. I have a hormone therapy for both men and women, and female hormones to respective of women, and male hormones obviously for men. And in many ways, and I am under the male hormone therapy, in many ways, I feel stronger, a greater sense of vitality. Why? I am indeed assembling testosterone in my body when I treat myself for the male hormone therapy. It works. So, to answer your question, yes, I have a hormone therapy, and it is advantageous to both women and men, respectively. To move on, do I think I can increase the vitality of people by other chemicals? Of course I do. I've scratched the surface. This simply just begs experimentation. It begs inquiry. And as long as I have the time, I'm going to continue with these experiments.
I'm also wondering, with some of the people that were exposed to mass amounts of radiation around Fukushima, when that happened back in, March 3rd, 2011, if some of these technologies could help people that have been exposed to mass amounts of radiation as well.
Yes, it can. It's my contention that scalar energy in and of itself does indeed control all physical matter, including radioactive material. Now, what I've noticed with scalar energy is radioactive material is really anathema to scalar energy. Scalar energy is, if you will, is a stable energy. It's not a metastable energy such as a radioactive element. So I've not had the opportunity really to experiment with people. Nobody's really come forward stating that they have radiation sickness, but it's my contention that yes, scalar energy can be used to favorably some way correct this radioactive material that people have in their body, whether they were exposed to a nuclear reactor or whether they drank contaminated water. It doesn't matter. Scalar energy can control physical matter, including radioactive material.
Hey guys, if I can jump in here, Tom and Rex. Tom, what unique experiences have you witnessed when working with scalar energy in your laboratory?
When I work with scalar energy, my entire laboratory is under the influence of this force field. And it's different. It's not that of the electromagnetic spectrum. One of the telltale signs of a scalar energy force field is I can actually hold a light bulb in my hand, and it will, in this scalar energy environment, the light bulb will illuminate automatically.
Oh, wow.
And I have that actually on my website, photographs of holding light bulbs in my bare hands, and these light bulbs are illuminated. Well, Tesla did the same thing. And how did Tesla do that? Well, the same way I do it. We've created a local scalar energy environment. It's energized. And one of the consequences is you can illuminate a light bulb easily. Another consequence that I see of a local scalar energy force field is...
Tom?
Yes?
If I could just jump in, could you use that to move an object, per se? A physical object?
Yes. We're going to get into that. I've not achieved that, but I will say this. To answer your question, scalar energy is the cause of gravity.
Oh.
Scalar energy is the underlying cause of gravity. Our Newtonian concept of gravity is absolute nonsense. What controls gravity is scalar energy. As you compress scalar energy waves, you have a compression of gravity. As you relax those scalar energy waves, gravity relaxes. So you have gravity and anti-gravity. Scalar energy is the cause of gravity. Now, to answer your question, to speak to that point, if you can relax gravity, then you can create what? A situation of anti-gravity. And I think within the next year or two, I'll be able to demonstrate anti-gravity in my laboratory. And with that said, if I can create a local scalar energy force field that is an anti-gravity force field, then sure, I can use that for transportation. I can move objects inside this anti-gravity force field.
Awesome. I know we're coming up to the top of the hour, Tom, and I know we had only booked for 1 hour, but we do have the option, if you're available, to go a little longer if that's something you're comfortable with doing. Great. Sure. Rex, I know you wanted to jump in. Rex, go ahead.
Hey, thanks a lot. There's a lot of things that, in my opinion, could certainly use a little boost of confidence and help. You know, the Earth right now is going through some serious changes. The atmosphere is being depleted by a lot of the chemical trails that are being sprayed and the pollution. The environment's really kind of turning into this bipolar environment. You know, one day it's 90, 100 degrees. The next day it's 40 degrees in South Dakota or North Dakota. And these frequencies that you talk about that you're able to help people with, is there any way that you could maybe make that a bit larger? You know, let's go to a city level or a state level. Is there a way to send these type of frequencies into different satellites or high voltage systems to actually help heal the Earth and the atmosphere and the different areas that have been destroyed or, you know, very highly contaminated by certain chemicals and the way that the population has treated it?
Yes, I would say there is, and it's simply a matter of the time, and will I have enough time to develop these instruments to the point where I can apply them as such? I'll say this: scalar energy is really the cause of weather phenomenon. So you could ultimately control the weather with scalar energy. Scalar energy can indeed break apart particulates in the atmosphere. You can clean up the air with scalar energy. My predecessor, Galen Hieronymus, invented a scalar energy, he called it a pipe or a cosmic pipe, in which he could clean up the pesticides on a farm field or in an orchard. So yes, scalar energy can be, it has thousands of applications. It's almost mind-boggling as to what we can do with scalar energy. The drawback is this, gentlemen, I'm one man. There's only so much I can do. I need the world to help me.
Well, let me jump in here for a minute. You make these machines that can help out people individually. And I saw your video earlier today on YouTube that's got, I think, 50 or 60,000 views, and it hasn't even been out for that long, where you're doing these different experiments and you're in a office type setting where you've got this scalar machine going. And I can see that your big screen that's actually not a TV, but the actual screen itself is going up and down and up and down. And I'm thinking to myself, what is this? Why is this thing continuing to move around? It's getting kind of annoying. But it was actually because you had this scalar machine going and it was causing it to act all weird. So what type of watts, or I mean, how much energy are you using to emit a force field or effect in a certain area? Like, what's your actual radius with the voltage or watts that you're using now? And let's get into the next step. If you can create a 5 square foot radius of this energy to create these harmonious effects of healing and nutrient balance, then how much would it take to get to a 5,000 square foot radius? And how much funds do you need to actually produce that? Because this is something that could potentially save the human race.
Yes. Thank you, Rex. And it will save the human race in many ways. Scalar energy will liberate mankind. Now, to speak to your point, the nice thing about scalar energy is, once again, it's a non-local environment. In other words, when I take a photograph and I incorporate it within my scalar energy instrument of a person, I can treat a person anywhere in the world by way of their photograph. So I don't necessarily need to broadcast this energy to a radius of, say, 1,000 miles or 5,000 miles. To the contrary, everything is miniaturized with scalar energy. That is, I can actually take a million photographs of people a day and run them, if you will, scan them through my scalar energy instrument. And no matter where these people are located in the world, I can send them energy. Now, again, going back to the analogy, if a satellite can send energy to a million cell phone towers, to a million radios around the world, then my scalar energy instrument can send a broadcast energy to a million people around the world. And I can do that from one fixed location. And that begs the question, the observation, well, if we can do that with scalar energy, what does that mean to mankind? Well, in a nutshell, when I'm going back to my staple, the scalar energy pathogenic cleanse, if you brought me a million photographs a day of people, I could cure a million people a day. Now, let me repeat that. If you brought me a stack of photographs of people and I ran those photographs through my scalar energy instrument, I could treat those million people around the world and break apart the germs, the pathogens in their body, and cure a million people a day.
Well, let's get into this a little bit further. The FDA is very harsh on false claims and infomercials that come out with a supplement that says it can heal something or cure something. I've read news reports before of Amish farmers with natural milk, you know, clubs where they allow people to buy milk that isn't, you know, full of different, let's say, antibiotics and other things that they put in them, you know, just raw milk per se, where they've got SWAT teams going after these Amish people. How do you not have your doors being blasted down by people in the FDA or certain organizations that have high funds in the pharmaceutical industry?
Sure. I would say God's protection first and foremost. That's necessary. And I've been guaranteed that I would have God's protection. And that's very necessary. And to speak to that point, sadly, the corruption in the federal government of the United States of America is to the point where our liberties are indeed compromised. Nonetheless, I will continue to work and to experiment, and I realize that soon scalar energy will be embraced by mankind, and regardless of the consequences, I'm moving forward. So you're right. There is a force out there that does not want to see this succeed. And again, this indeed is a threat to the money and power of many people.
You know, Rex, that was the question I was just getting ready to ask. Tom, have you had any pushback from any federal type of government? No, none?
No. I frankly don't think they realize what I'm doing. I don't think they understand. Very few people understand scalar energy. And that's not to slight people. But frankly, if people understood what scalar energy can do and what I am doing on a daily basis, there would be a rush to help me to abet this cause. That hasn't happened yet. And again, I'm not trying to be condescending or curt about this. People simply have to be educated. People do not understand the implications here.
Right. Rex?
So, you know, you've got a lot of followers on YouTube. When you type in scalar energy, you're the second website that comes up on Google, which is pretty awesome. The first one is actually an article about Nikola Tesla. So what's next for you?
I believe in results, Rex. I believe that I have to go out there and prove this. Now, I've decided to devote my early career to scalar energy to proving that I can improve human health. If I can prove to people that I can break apart the HIV virus and cure AIDS, then I will garner the attention of people around the world. If I can prove that I can break apart the herpes virus and eradicate that causative agent, then again, I can have a following. I can finally, if you will, have a foothold, an entree, if you will, to the world. Otherwise, if it remains theoretical, people aren't interested in theory. People are interested in benefits, in helping people. So first and foremost, I have to prove to the world that I have the cure for all viral, bacterial, fungal, protozoan diseases. I have to prove that I can eradicate pathogenic disease, period. Once I prove that, then people will start to see the merit, and then they'll help me. Otherwise, I remain a quiet researcher, if you will.
Well, and let me be a skeptic here for a minute, because you say that you have a 100% cure rate and you have 50 to 100 cases of people that have actually came to see you and they had some type of, let's say, herpes or hepatitis or whatever, and now it's gone.
Right.
So,
right.
You know, there's stocks out there, there's companies out there that create these experimental drugs that might work or might not, and there's billions of dollars that are funded into these companies, and the stocks will go from 50 cents to $50 to bankrupt overnight, you know, in a very short time because it doesn't actually work. So if this is legit, you know, I'm just going to play the skeptic here for a minute. If you've got 50 people to 100 people that have been cured from these ailments, I would think that there would be billionaires and multimillionaires at your door willing to invest a ton of money saying, look, man, let's show our stockholders that this is legit and we're going to be billionaires. Let's do it. So has there been people that have been knocking at your door saying, no. I want in on this?
No, there has not been. And to me, that remains a mystery to me why I've not been approached by any serious party that wants to work with me. I have demonstrated this time and time again by diagnostic tests and by the testimonial of the people who were at one time infected with these pathogenic agents. Viral load tests come back negative. There's no sign, no trace of the herpes virus, of the Epstein-Barr virus, of the HIV virus. These viruses, these pathogens are being eradicated. So you're right. And to speak to your point, this will have a significant impact upon the medical community, including the pharmaceutical industry. If I can easily break apart germs and do it with light, and if I can easily treat 1 million, 2 million people a day, if I can easily treat 5 million people a day, I can. My scalar energy instruments, I have more than one. My scalar energy instruments, if I had a trained staff helping me, I could easily treat 10 million people a day. Now, if I can do that and if I can cure them of pathogenic infection, well, it's not too long before I could cure everybody in the world of hepatitis. It's not too long before I could cure everybody in the world of AIDS, HIV infection. I'm rather astounded that my research has been suppressed this long, even though I have a stellar track record and I'm proving it day after day. People are getting well.
So let's get into, I would like to ask you some of your personal opinions on things then, and we can jump into the latter after. So do you feel that a lot of these ailments that are out there now, let's say the HIV virus, do you think that that's actually created by man, or do you think that was in nature all along?
The HIV virus is a man-made virus. The purpose of the HIV virus is to reduce world population. The HIV virus did not exist 50 years ago. The only reason we have the HIV virus today is because genetic engineering became apparent and plausible back in the 60s and 70s. I don't know how and when or who exactly created the HIV virus, but it's rather evident now. These are new and emerging viruses, and these viruses are man-made. They are produced in a laboratory. And again, it's quite nefarious. The HIV virus, the Ebola virus, are man-made viruses, and their primary purpose is to depopulate the world.
Now, also the vaccines that kids have to take in order to be able to go to schools now is absolutely horrific. If you look at they've got to take 20 or 30 vaccines by the time they're 8 years old. And you look at the actual ingredients that are put in these vaccines, it's quite mind-boggling to know what's in it. So do you feel that the vaccines and the GMOs and the stuff that they're, you know, the fluoride that they're putting in the water, et cetera, do you think that that's all being orchestrated for population control?
I would say that genetically modified organisms, GMO food, is terrible. It's absolutely terrible. So I'll break this down. And the likes of these biotech companies, including Monsanto, the purpose is power and money and control. If you can control the seed supply, if you can control the food, you can control mankind. It has been established that vaccinations do indeed contribute to autism as well as other diseases. You're absolutely correct. Many of the material of any type of vaccination has to be circumspect. We've observed that some vaccinations have aluminum particulates or mercury. It's terrible. I am not necessarily against all vaccination. When in the right place, sure, vaccination has saved lives. Nonetheless, I'm very much against this broad scale, everybody has to be vaccinated policy. That's not right. I frankly think that scalar energy, the technique that I've developed, the scalar energy pathogenic cleanse, is going to be eventually the substitute for treating pathogenic infection, as well as the substitute in some cases for the need to vaccinate. We see other nefarious attempts by this New World Order. We could consider chemtrails and the fluoridation of our water. Whether people are aware of that or not, that's another issue. Nonetheless, these events are indeed taking place. And yes, I'm very much against this. I'm very much against putting fluoride in the water. I drink water that's not fluoridated.
Do you ever put anything in your house to eliminate some of the harmful effects of, let's say, just pollutants and radiation and giant cell phone towers? Is there some type of frequency that you have in your house at a certain level to help eliminate that?
No, I don't think that's necessary. And the reason being, I essentially live out in the country. I don't live in a populated area. So I really don't have to worry about that immediately in my immediate environment. Secondly, I think in many ways my scalar energy instruments that I'm working with throughout the day serve in some way as a buffer, if you will, to ambient electromagnetic noise.
Have you ever looked into the effects that are actually caused by giant cell phone towers and such?
Not personally, no. I don't have the time for that. Do I think there's... I'll say this. Electromagnetic energy is not conducive to our health. It's always been my contention that electricity and magnetism are imperfect energy. To the contrary, scalar energy is perfect energy and cannot harm you. So any electrical device, whether it's a cell phone tower or a toaster, a car, refrigerator, I am not in favor of electromagnetic energy for the simple point that entropy, decay, death is introduced by way of electromagnetic energy. To the contrary, scalar energy does not experience entropy. Hence, there is no decay, there is no degradation involved with scalar energy. It's really of a divine origin. So to answer that question, any device using electromagnetic energy really is in essence, in some way harmful to human health.
Yeah, it's very interesting. You'll see a lot of these giant cell phone towers now that are right next to schools or, you know, water supplies. I wonder sometimes if it might affect the water. Have you ever tested have you ever had samples of water that have been under these different scalar energies and you've tested them before and after?
I've not done that myself, but I have. Professor Emoto did that out of Japan, and he observed that scalar energy subjected to water would produce incredible geometry and form and coherence. And I'm all for that. I've not really had the time to do that, but nonetheless, I'm convinced that scalar energy, when I'm imparting scalar energy upon a person, as we know, people are 70% water. I'm sure I'm in many ways helping bringing their body to this state of coherence or this state of perfection by way of scalar energy.
Sure. You know, and also I just want to jump back here again real quick, Tom. There are so many giant pharmaceutical corporations that make billions and billions of dollars, making these pharmaceutical drugs for people to take, and even the advertising industries are making millions and millions of dollars from the pharmaceutical companies. I just find it almost shocking that if this is legit as you say it is, and I certainly believe you feel that it is, and it very well might be, how you haven't been taken out, man. I mean, seriously, because if what you have, if the technology you have can actually heal people from these ailments and these diseases and these viruses that many may have been created and others might be natural. It's just mind-boggling that you're still around and you're not getting any flack from trolls or people that, you know, get paid by certain industries to create, you know, some type of doubt with what you're doing.
Well, let's say this. I have a high regard for my divine protection. Jesus and Mary always protect me, and I'm sure that in many ways this is divinely orchestrated. I realize there are nefarious forces out there, and as this becomes promulgated, and thank you for your support, as this becomes promulgated and people start catching on, they're going to realize that indeed scalar energy is a game changer. It will change the course of history.
Certainly. If you know, and do you think also that this scalar energy can be used to not only affect the people that have certain, you know, ailments or whatever, but it can also be used to power certain things, like power people's homes and yes. and basically be an all in all everything.
Sure. And that's where Tesla was going with this. He wanted to use scalar energy as a universal source of energy. He was no longer enthralled, if you will, with electricity. Yes, and I know we're going there someday. Someday, our homes will be, our schools, our factories will be powered by scalar energy. And again, that day is coming. You cannot suppress the truth forever. So indeed, yes, to answer your question, that day is coming.
Well, Tom, I got to tell you, it's been great speaking with you. I really appreciate all the information you've given us and look forward to speaking with you again sometime.
A pleasure, gentlemen. Thank you for the opportunity. Thank you.
Hey, folks. Again, hey, Tom, thanks again for sharing your time with us this evening. Disclosure Media would like to thank our guest, Tom Palladino, for sharing his time. You can, again, find out more about Tom Palladino at www.selfhealgo.com. Also want to thank Rex Baer from the Leak Project for collaborating on tonight's program. You can find out more about Rex on his website and YouTube. I've got it up there on the picture screen there now, folks. Also, don't forget to subscribe to Disclosure Media. Just go to youtube.disclosuremedia.net. Tom, stay on the line. And folks, have a great night. We'll speak to you soon.